And that Sanford and Son theme song means it's now time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library just down the road from us off of Estes Drive. She joins us now in the studio. Susan, how are you?
I'm great. I'm great. And you might call that the Sanford and Son theme. I call it Street Beater.
Street Beater
the
by,
actual
Quince,
name
by Quincy Jones. Yeah.
That's right.
And it's our brand new theme song for this show debuting today. So we're excited about that.
That's right. I actually got to craft what is probably the best email of my day, perhaps my week, maybe my lifetime.
Uh-huh.
The email that I sent this morning was, Aaron, can this be the day that we change my bumper music from Green Onions to Street Beater?
And I did not respond.
You did not.
But
well, you
I,
just
I
did.
Went here
you
and
responded.
I changed it.
That's
yes,
right.
I made it happen. All
so,
right.
Yes, so new bumper music. I'm very excited.
Right. So we're here in the studio, not live. And thanks to Blake Hodge for filling in for me today so that I can go experience culture later on this evening at DPAC. But how are you?
I'm great.
Cool.
The only thing that could make me possibly more happy than new bumper music is the guest that I have brought with me
because
today.
Because we have brought a guest.
I brought a guest. I do this occasionally, and this guest just flew in from New York City.
Nice.
That's when you say, New York City.
New like, York City?
I did that to my kids. They're like, what are you doing? And
yeah,
please
no,
stop
that,
it,
that
Mom.
Commercial is like 20 years old
it
now,
is.
Which is real sad.
So flew in from New York to do not one but two programs with us. So
awesome.
I'm going to introduce my special guest and one of my favorite authors, and I'm slightly fangirling, and I will stop doing that. Grady Hendrix is with us in the studio.
Grady, good to have you with us.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
And I'm doing good.
Please keep fangirling because my ego needs it.
There you go.
And I am really excited to be here the day y'all have changed your bumper music. That's a big deal.
Right?
We changed it
deal.
For you.
I know. I appreciate it.
We were like,
it.
Grady Hendrix is coming. What do we need? Street
need
Beater by Quincy
up.
Jones. Yes,
it
that's
feels
it.
Fresher in here.
Yeah, it does, right? Okay. So
Grady is here for two programs.
Nice.
Tracy Babiaz, our acquisitions and collections manager, has been organizing this whole series in partnership with Max and the crew from Carolina Public Humanities, the Great American Read series, and we'll talk about that. The last one of those is tomorrow. He's here for that panel. And then he's got this other thing he does, and I've talked about this book on the show, so he said, I'll come an extra night and do this other thing.
Nice.
So tonight at Local 506 at 7 o'clock, Grady's going to present one of his four books, Paperbacks from Hell.
Awesome.
So I'm going to stop talking because I'll just keep fangirling, and I'm going to let him talk about Paperbacks from Hell, his other books, his program tonight, his program tomorrow night, and all of it.
And I've got the book right here, and I had a chance to read it earlier today. It's a fantastic book. It's so engaging and fun and funny and visual and terrific, and it's all about the history of horror fiction, schlocky horror fiction.
The 70s and 80s were a strange and mysterious time, and so there were all those horror paperbacks that sort of like exploded in those decades that I think people our age remember from, you know, you see on the drugstore shelves with the crazy covers and
the kind of creaky rotating shelves with
exactly
three
the spinner
books.
Racks
and
so I wrote this history of the horror paperback boom of the 70s and 80s and really tried to break it down and make sense of, you know, when were they writing about Nazi leprechauns, why were they writing about Nazi leprechauns.
This is page 3 of the book, y'all.
We start
it's absolutely
and so the
Gestapo cons.
Exactly.
And they live in a castle in Ireland.
Right.
Yeah, well,
like you do.
Where else would they live?
Exactly.
come on, think about it for a minute.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that unleashed waves of these other sort of, you know, things. Killer babies were a big boom for a while. Killer animals, which got to the point where they sort of ran out of killer animals and were sort of grasping for straws, going for killer jellyfish, killer moths. There's actually... Shoot, I can't remember what town it's set in, but there actually is a killer moth book called Blight that I think is set in North Carolina.
Oh, nice.
And I should have looked it up and found out what town.
We
to
have
warn
big
the
moths
residents.
Here.
I was trying to flip to it, but I got stuck. Well, there's two pages on killer crabs, and then there's maggot slugs,
the killer crabs
ants,
is so fun.
And a praying mantis.
Right, eat
I haven't
them alive.
Hit the moth
which
yet.
Is, yeah.
I mean, this is the fun thing about
it.
Yeah. The fun thing about this book is you can open it up, and I was doing this earlier this afternoon. You can open it up to any page and just start reading. Or just looking at the visual, the imagery of all of these colors, and you're gonna covers, and you're gonna find something just fascinating,
and upsetting.
Yes.
You know, let's not forget.
They go hand in hand. Right?
Often these books seem to be written by people who were only vaguely tethered to reality.
Yes.
But so anyway, so I really hate doing author events. Like when I started out in 2014, I had a book horror store about a haunted IKEA, and they put me out on a road, and I was this young, naive. I don't know. What do? You read from your book. You take away. It's so boring.
People fall asleep, exactly. Then they wake up, and then you sign some books.
Yeah. Exactly. And so I vowed to never do that again.
Nice.
And so I do this show, Paperbacks from Hell, about the book. And it's basically an hour version of the book that I do live, start to finish. And so if you don't want to pay for the book, you get it live for free.
Nice.
I mean, all you have to do is pay for your beer.
Right.
And it's got songs in it, terrible songs, sung poorly, but they're in there. And it's fast paced. I've got slides of the covers and stuff because I met a lot of the artists who did the covers
writing
this book, and they're lunatics. They're great. And so it's really fun, and it's an hour, which is nice. You know, it's not a big commitment. And you really learn more about Nazi leprechauns. And I think many people were prepared to, but maybe you should know.
Awesome.
Just for personal safety reasons.
So this is going to be 7 o'clock tonight, Local 506. Grady Hendrix, the author of Paperbacks from Hell, is going to be there presenting this incredible show about this incredible book. How did you get started with this project? Like, what launched it for you?
It's really a misguided life. I was writing horror, and I love used bookstores. Like, not the nice ones, but sort of the skeevy ones where people bring in a grocery bag full of romance novels and trade them in for another grocery bag of romance novels.
It smells like the garage behind the garage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I noticed that all these places, and I'm from South Carolina originally, and so I would go, there were a couple near my house down there, or my family's house, and I would go in there, and they had these huge horror sections, and I didn't know who any of these authors were. All these books were out of print. Like, who's J.N. Williamson? Why are there 40 copies of the novelization of The Omen movie? And why does The Omen have more sequels in books than it did in film? These questions that weren't answered. So I just started reading these books randomly, and they were bizarre and insane. Mm-hmm. And so I started writing about them online just to sort of get paid a little money for my unhealthy hobby.
Yeah.
And then my editor at Quirk, who's my publisher, they came to me and said, look, I love these things you write, but, you know, would you ever pitch us on this? Like, doing a book of these, but I don't think we'd ever buy it. It's too weird and unsavory. And I was between two novels on my contract. And lo and behold, they bought it. And so I had, like, really about 9 months to do the research and write this book. And I think during that time, I read 336 of these paperbacks, including the ones I'd already read.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it. It hurt me in ways that aren't visible on the surface, but become clear later.
Right.
And then I wrote, and this book has been so much fun. I met all these artists doing this. I met a lot of the authors. I'm still doing stuff with it. We're bringing out a line of these paperbacks that have been reissued, some of the really amazing ones.
Oh, that's great. Is Quirk doing that too?
No, or? I'm doing that with this company called Valancourt
that
sort of dedicated itself to bringing out, sort of bringing stuff back into print. But we're doing them with the original covers and the first, one of the first books we're bringing out, I'm really excited about. It's this book by a woman named Barry Wood called The Tribe, which is his, and I promise you, it's I'm not kidding. It's a very touching and very beautiful, melancholy book about a golem running amok on Long Island in the 1970s in this Jewish community who they accidentally reanimate a golem, and that never ends well.
Of course, right.
Yeah, and it's such a good book. And it was a big bestseller back in the day. Just these authors are forgotten now, you know?
Speaking with Grady Hendrix, author of Paperbacks from Hell, again, 7 p.m. tonight, Local 506. He's going to be there presenting his author book talk. I mean,
it's a show.
Right?
It's
hour
a show,
long
yep.
show with PowerPoint and bad songs and some great novels with some really, really fun covers and some even better content inside. So the period that you're covering is late 60s, 70s, 80s, early 90s. What is it about that period that made for this kind of explosion of horror movies?
Well, you know, in the late 60s, horror really didn't exist.
Right?
It was like giant monster movies or like vampire films. It was pretty cheesy.
Right.
And then in 67, Rosemary's Baby came out. And that kind of the book and then the movie changed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And The Exorcist came out right on its heels. And right on their heels, there was a book called The Other that no one, everyone's like, The Other, what?
That's a really good book, though.
Yeah.
Thomas Tryon.
Thomas Tryon.
I was reading really this book, and it's like this holy trinity of early horror books. Like, yeah, Rosemary's Baby, The Exorcist. And then there's this other, which I'd not heard of.
I'm glad you read it. It's a fantastic book. And And that really changed everything. And you know, book publishers are shallow and simple human beings.
Of course.
If they smell money somewhere, they swarm. And so they realize
just
horror.
Book publishers, right? And no other human beings.
No other
beside
human
that,
beings.
Of course,
everyone
yeah.
else is
yeah,
a
everyone
tower
else is,
of moral rectitude.
Yes.
And so they swarmed. And so they unleashed these books, and they had one hit after, and each hit would sort of kick off another boom. So in 74, you had Jaws, and mm-hmm. then you had all these killer animals. Then in 76, you had right around there, you had The Omen. Mm-hmm. So you had all these killer kid books. And then they're like, well, killer kids, what about killer babies? What about killer teenagers? What about killer toddlers? And then you had The Amityville Horror came out, and that unleashed all these haunted house books. And,
yep.
and then you got into the 80s, which became all about these sort of superstar blockbuster authors like V.C. Andrews and Anne Rice and Stephen King. And then as you got into the 90s, you sort of like, it got into serial killers with Silence of the Lambs and all that. So there were these real booms that came along, and each one also kind of, I mean, not to sound like I'm smart or anything, or I've thought about this way too much, but each one of these sort of tied in with something that was going on in the world. Mm. Like, you know, you look at the killer animal craze, and usually the animals were crazed by pollution. It would make the moths real big. It would make the sharks real angry. It would make the rats real ornery. And that was around the time that we started to realize that the environment was really crashing and burning. You know, the Cuyahoga River in Ohio was on fire.
Literally,
you know?
Crashing yeah. and burning.
Literally.
Right? Yeah.
And so that was around the time of the EPA and the clean air and mm-hmm. all that stuff. And horror writers have always been there to say, wait a minute, not so fast. Like, okay, we're protecting nature from us, but who's protecting us from nature, you know? And yeah. and the killer baby books, you know, that was around the time in vitro fertilization was starting to become this more common thing. And so, yes, you could have this scientific process to have a child, but what if it turned your child into a crazed murderer?
Right,
you know,
right.
It might.
Yeah.
And I will say the killer baby cover art is top-notch.
Fantastic,
it is,
yeah.
Right,
you, yeah.
Like, I thought that the killer crabs was the top, and then you get the killer babies.
And it's up there, yeah.
And I will tell you, though, so Grady's talking about great writers and writing. The book is really, really funny. He's a very funny writer, but it's just so well done. I mean, you get insight into the publishing industry, you get insight into cover art and book cover artists, you get insight into sort of cultural shifts like that. So paperbacks from hell, it's like, you don't have to like horror fiction to
no.
like this book.
Yeah.
And book
a lot
sounds
of the,
good.
Like,
can I get
right?
one?
Yeah, put that on the blurb. And a lot of the authors that you're focusing on, they're not authors that are known. Like, Stephen King kind of hangs like an unspoken
yeah.
specter over this book. You don't focus on him at all.
No, but King's gotten enough attention. He's
also
doing
true.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know,
he's all right.
Elizabeth
yeah.
Engstrom, she's a really interesting writer.
Yes.
More people need to read her. King's okay. And,
yeah.
you know, and that's sort of one of those things, too, where writing about these, like, these authors were selling hundreds and thousands, if not millions of copies of these books.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know their names today.
Yeah.
And so as an author, you know, we all know like the remainder rack awaits, as obscurity awaits, you know. I mean, there's some writers in the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, even V.C. Andrews, like her profile is so much smaller than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and she's really...
And she's also dead.
Well, right. Is she though? I mean, she's still writing.
How does this happen?
Yeah.
But so she's interesting because you were talking about, you know, the Omen comes out, then everybody writes the Omen books. So Gillian Flynn wrote Gone Girl,
right.
which was her breakthrough book. I actually like her early books better, but that's just me. And then everybody's writing these
girl.
Women.
If you liked Gone Girl, you'll
girl
love
from the train,
girl
girl
Who's Gone. Yeah.
And so, but what's interesting is Gillian Flynn wrote a great piece on the influence that V.C. Andrews had on her.
Oh,
and that's
really?
What
I didn't know this
read.
At
yeah.
all.
Yeah. So there's a great kind of tie-in there. And I read a lot of V.C. Andrews. I mean, like too much of it as a kid. And then my kid recently is like, can I read this? I'm like, sure, go for it. I mean, I'm relatively okay. And he's really into like scary
yeah,
stuff and
go.
Horror fiction.
What do you think?
He hasn't read it yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which
he'll,
one?
Deck? Flowers in the Attic.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you got to start
you
there.
You got to
right?
start with that,
right.
yeah.
Although I do say my favorite is My Sweet Audrina.
Oh,
which, because
yes.
it's so insane.
It's over the top, ridiculous.
Yeah. And, you know, and I got to say, one of the things I talk about tonight is V.C. Andrews. Although a lot of us think of her sort of as kind of a campy joke, she's one of my heroes. She was an amazing, amazing human being. And you'll only find out why if you come tonight.
I got Grady Hendrix here in the studio along with Susan Brown. We're talking books with Susan Brown, but Grady Hendrix is going to be at Local 506 tonight, 7 p.m., talking about Paperbacks from Hell. So of the 330 books that you read for this, what is the one that kind of stands out as, oh, everyone, this is completely obscure, but everyone should read this? And what of the 330 was the worst?
Okay. Well, none of them, I would never say a book is bad. Every book has something to offer.
Right.
But I will say, and I hate to speak ill of the dead, but hacking my way through J.N. Williamson's books is really, really painful.
Okay.
He wrote a book once called Brother Kind, which is, it's the only book he's written. His books feel like he's read books, and so he takes sentences and he knows they're supposed to go together somehow, mm-hmm. and he just starts putting them together, and then he maybe shows them to someone. Does this look like a book? They're really complicated to read. And he wrote a book called Brother Kind, which is his UFO book, which it's about a woman who gets abducted by a UFO and gets, you know, tormented by the aliens on there, but also Bigfoot, who just happens to be on the UFO
hitching a ride.
And the Mothman is there too, because sometimes he flies around with them. And in the end, a psychic hypnotist has to rescue her, and he goes onto the UFO to rescue her, and he kills the aliens. He kills Bigfoot by refusing to believe in Bigfoot. And faced with this disbelief, Bigfoot crumbles into his constituent atoms. And then he has a transistor radio and he plays Kiss's song Firehouse at top volume and all the aliens' heads explode. Now, this sounds like a great book. I have just summarized a 412-page book for you in 32 seconds,
and
those are the highlights. So J.N. Williamson, I would a strong avoid unless you're a masochist. But in terms of the good ones, there's so many. I mean, there are books that are just goofy, fun, that are ridiculous. Graham Masterton. I mean, Graham Masterton can write a book about a haunted chair, and it is a blast from start to finish.
Did he write a book about a haunted chair?
Oh, of course he did.
Of course.
The
okay,
heirloom. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Come on, man. and there's people like William Johnstone, who is crazy also, but his books are really just, they're such artifacts of the satanic panic in the 80s. Like, Johnstone really believed that there were covens of witches using heavy metal music to corrupt our youth. And he's really convinced that this is true, and his books are just, I mean, they're like watching the cheesiest 80s horror movie ever. And then there are people who are legit good writers. Ken Greenhall, who Valancourt, I mentioned earlier, is bringing back into print. He always had to have a day job, but his books are really, really moving books. I mean, I don't know if people know Shirley Jackson, the author who did Haunting of Hill House and all that, but if there's any prose writer who feels like Shirley Jackson, you know, it was Ken Greenhall. He's got that same command of style, that same sort of chilly, clinical prose. He's great. Barry Wood's fantastic. The Tribe's great. Elizabeth Engstrom's When Darkness Loves Us. Joan Sampson wrote a book called The Auctioneer, and she passed away shortly afterwards, but it's an American classic that people should be reading. It's a really tremendous book.
And what's the book? I think that Valancourt's going to bring it out. The something about the Andersons with the babysitter, with the kids.
Let's go play at the Addams.
Yes.
Let's go, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, can I just need to say, let's go play at the Andersons,
the Addams.
Is a tremendous book. I'm happy I read it. I never want to read it again.
It's dark.
Approach with caution.
Yes.
I mean, it's read it.
Oh, yeah. It's dark and twisted, and I love dark and twisted. It is dark and twisted, but I think it was a well-done, very dark and twisted book.
And I think it's got a point to it. I think it gets quite moving at the end. But, yeah, it's really it goes there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I also want to say, Grady mentioned Satanic Panic and the heavy metal, all of that. So I do need to put a plug in for tomorrow night as well, because we have Grady for two nights. And tomorrow night, he's part of a panel. This is our last Great American Read series. This is in conjunction with the PBS series that just ended, the Great American Read. And we've done five themes that are lined up with the themes of the show. Tomorrow night is villains. So we have three other authors. We have Mary Kubica, I'm not sure how we say her name, AJ Tata, and JT Ellison, all of who write more thriller type novels. And then Grady's in there. And tomorrow night he'll also talk, as I'm sure he will tonight as well, about his other novels, Horror Store, My Best Friend's Exorcism, and his new one, which is about heavy metal, We Sold Our Souls, which my husband stole my galley of, and I have not finished yet. He's reading it.
What a jerk.
I know. So do we have time for him to talk a little bit about his novels?
We've got a real quick minute before we have to wrap up.
We Sold Our Souls. You were just saying the Satanic Panic. It was my heavy metal horror novel because, I mean, I think we all remember, you know, when heavy metal was literally supposed to be a gateway to Satan.
Oh, yeah.
And really, there is no more malign genre of music. Hip-hop even has a sort of coolness aspect to it. People assume metalheads are just idiots. And so I wanted to write a book about, you know, sort of a selling your soul to Satan thing, which is always a musician sells their soul to Satan. It never ends well. But I wanted to do it about a music genre that people really look down on, which is metal, which, you know, is not to be disregarded. But we'll talk more about that tomorrow night.
Yes. Awesome. So tomorrow night, 6:30, Great American Reads at the library. Tonight at 5:06 at 7 o'clock.
It's going to be super fun. Grady Hendrick, Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you all.
Thanks, Aaron.